Just 4 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. And joining us up on our First Advantage hotline is just a great guy, one of my favorite guests to get on this program, the UNC Bears head coach Steve Smiley joining us. Coach, always love when we can connect. Listen to that, man. It's like an 80s sitcom when you are on the show here, live studio
audience.
The people
love it. The people love it with the live studio audience. Yeah, Brady, it's good. It's good to be on the show, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, we had your friend Tanner in here moments ago just arguing with him.
Yeah.
So I'm a little worn out from that, my goodness.
I mean, that
guy's got a lot of energy, so it's hard to keep up, man.
Coach,
what's been going on with you, though, man? I'm really excited. I know you got this road trip still. You're in the midst of it. You got Montana. You got Montana State coming up.
Yep.
But I'm getting really pumped up about next Monday. I really am. The Weber State game, because it's late night basketball. It's something unique, and I love that.
It's something a little different, you know, and when the Big Sky reached out to our administration, I think in the summer or fall, whenever it was, and said, hey, look, there's going to be one Big Sky game on you know, national TV on the ESPNU network this year, and it's going to be Northern Colorado, Weber State, but it's got to be at 9 p.m. We all over here are like, yeah, let's do it. You know, I mean, I think it's great. I just think that it's great to get on those networks. I think you get a big audience, and obviously, you know, right now, you know, the way that, you know, we're kind of playing just in terms of the standings and stuff, I mean, it's just another game where we're just trying to get better and we're trying to improve our seeding and standing for the tournament. But, yeah, I mean, I think for the, you know, not only for the community, but for our students, it's something cool. So we had that student faculty game last night.
Yeah.
And you better bet that at the end of that, I got on that microphone. We had a good turnout and just said, hey, we need you students there. At 9 p.m. is a late game for some of these families and stuff in the town, but you know, for you students, it's Monday night. Like, we got to get you out there. So I know that we're trying to make a big push internally for our students to show up for that game and all that. I think we will, but it's a big one for us for sure.
Yeah, Coach. Beach Monday too, right? Got a little theme going on with that, so that'll be even
theme.
You know, make it more fun.
Got to have some fun, especially with it being about negative 90 out right now. I mean, let's all have, you know, dreams of the beach for sure.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. You mentally escape from this cold for a while and go watch some great basketball. Coach, what's crazy, though, and again, I know your record's not where you want it to be right now, 2-7 in the conference, but I will say this, that Northern Arizona game scared me because, I'll be honest, everybody in the Big Sky Conference scares me because it just feels like on any given night, you could beat this team, this team could beat you, whatever. And Northern Arizona is one of those examples. It's all over the board right now. And I guess that's where you're looking at this team saying, we just got to keep at it, got to keep grinding, because once we get in the tournament, that's when we need to be at our best. We need to be locked. Obviously, you're locked in all the time, but we got to try to fix up some of those things before we get into that tournament.
That's the deal. You know, it was a very, you know, it was a weird game, Northern Arizona, and really, to be honest, a disappointing game. You know, we'd won two of our last three going into it. We were finally healthy. You know, Riley got cleared. I didn't feel like he'd had enough practicing yet to know how he would play, so I didn't start him, but he did play a lot of minutes. He played well, but, you know, we're back to full strength. I thought we did a good job of managing a little bit of a longer week in terms of getting our bodies right, but still keeping our edge. So there's a lot of positivity, a lot of confidence, but at the same point in time, we knew they were good. You know, I showed them, you know, Eastern Washington, who really, Northern Arizona should have beat them, missed a couple free throws and a shot by Jalen Combs, one of the best players in the league, to beat them, you know, the weekend before. And so everyone in our leagues, we're very, very similar. I don't think the records matter, but they do matter in the sense that you're standing. So, you know, yesterday, as we went through film, the first thing I did is say, hey, look, here's our record. Like, you know, you got to look at it. You have to understand and embrace it. There's no reason to put our heads in the sand. We're not happy with it, but it is what it is. But then I showed them the Big Sky tournament bracket. And I said, look, guys, like, we are not winning the Big Sky regular season championship. That's a mathematical impossibility. But we need to find a way, you know, to get up, even like if you look at it, to try to get to the 6 or 5 seed. Just because the way our tournament's built, 10 teams in the league, 7 through 10, they got to play that extra game, which just obviously makes it a lot harder to win it. If you can get to a 6 or a 5, if you can win some of these games and move up, you have a great chance of making a real run. So all hope is not lost. We were disappointed with that result, but at the same point in time, we got to find a way to just keep moving up the rankings a little bit here and keep getting better, because you just got to play your best in March. And we have the talent to do it. I really believe that.
Well, and when you look at, like you said, when you're looking at the standings, trying to get up into that fifth or sixth spot, I mean, coming up next for you guys, Montana, that's a huge game because you're only, what, about a game and a half behind them. So this would be monumental for you guys.
It would be huge. It would be huge. You know, so, yeah, if we're going to make that leap, you know, you certainly don't want to get swept by them. Obviously, the game's on their court. They beat us on that last second situation on our court about a month ago, and so I think we're right there with them. But we have to go there and we have to win. Like, if you're going to really move up the ranks, we got to go out there. We got to beat these guys, and it's a huge game. It's another reason why I showed the guys our current standings. Like, look, they're right above us right now, and you win this game, and his team starts to go this way, that way, lose this game, whatever it is. Like, we got to grab this one, man. So I think our guys, you know, we'll have a good practice today. I think our guys are dialed in. They understand it. I don't feel like they're shook, you know, in terms of confidence. But at the same point in time, the truth-telling, watching, I felt like, look, we got to do, you know, so many things better. And obviously, I'll take the blame for all of it. You know, when we lose, you got to look at the coach, man. Like, are we doing the right stuff, playing the right guys? And so we're you know, looking in the mirror ourselves as well. But we just got to keep getting back on that horse and find a way to get better, because we're not that far off. We really aren't.
Talking to UNC head coach Steve Smiley. Coach, you talked about Riley Abercrombie getting kind of back in the mix against Northern Arizona.
Yeah.
Can you talk? You expect him to start the next time out? Are you there yet, or still kind of sorting through a few
chance.
Things?
No, I think it's a good chance. I mean, I was very, you know, he played 25 minutes. Majority of those minutes, I think like 16 of those minutes were in the second half. Now, we were down a lot. I think we were down 19 at halftime. I didn't start in the second half, but I put him in right away, and then we just kind of rocked with that group. And we went from scoring 23 points in the first half. Now, with that in mind, we missed some of the most wide-open layups, threes. We were 1-for-6 from the free throw line. All those little things, for whatever reason right now, we can't finish a layup, can't make a free throw, things that we have to start doing if we're going to win. But we didn't play as bad as our score in the first half. But in the second half, we started really cooking. We scored 50 points.
Yeah.
And he was on the court for a big majority of that, I guess what I'm trying to get to. So, yeah, I think it's very possible. And I think that the biggest thing is that his body was able to, you know, play those 25 minutes, and I thought he played well. So he's gonna get back into a big role here quickly.
Coach, how are you surprised at all at Dalton Kinnick's performances this year? I mean, it just seems like every time I look down, the guy's, you know, falling over 25 points, 27 points the other night. He's hitting those 30s a couple times a year already.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew he was going to be good, but did you know he was going to be this good?
Well, I think that, you know, he's playing a lot like he was playing when he was at Northeastern Junior College, in the sense of, you know, it's a lot of times the ball is in his hands. And last year, especially with him getting hurt, people are like, man, he just went from 9 points a game to, you know, 24. It's like, well, he was playing well. He got, you know, his knee got hurt. He missed about 3 weeks. And by the time he got back in, the team was kind of moving in a different direction, in the sense of he was coming off the bench. And he's a guy that needs to play with, a lot of rhythm and flow. And with that being said, I mean, yeah, the fact that he's up in the, you know, 24 game or what, I am surprised about that, because there's so few players that can do that. But he's so talented, he's so gifted. I think the thing that's great about him is that, one, he's staying humble about it. Two, he knows there's just so much more improvement in his overall game. And he's got big goals as a player, you know, here and helping us win, and then as he moves on to the pros. But there's so many things he has to still improve upon, and he knows that, whether it's, you know, specifically defending. He's gotten better, but he's got to really find a way to become a plus defender on and off the ball. And so there's still so much room for growth. But with that being said, when that ball's in his hands, I mean, his confidence is through the roof, and he's just so hard to guard because he can score at all three levels. He can get to the rim. He makes free throws. He can hit threes. And even like in the pros, like the one thing that differentiates like professional players is if they can hit like pull-up threes. That's the hardest shot, but it's worth so much value. And Dalton can have the ball in his hands, dribbling around, and he can hit that pull-up three. And that makes him so dangerous, because now you got to go over his ball screen. He can get to the rim. He can use his size. But he's a special player for sure.
Yeah, he really is. And again, you have some of those guys. You know, obviously Matt Johnson and Dalen Kuntz. We've talked so much about those guys.
Sure.
But even Coach, you know, there was a portion early in the season. There was a game where you sat Dalen down. You sat Matt down. Can you take us through kind of that? Because we've seen that before. It's nothing new. Coaches do this, and it's kind of a way to wake guys up or whatever. Can you take us through that process, and what was your end goal with that idea to say, hey, we're going to sit you guys, you're still going to play, but we got to do something here to recharge this team.
Well, I think we're just trying to win, you know, and in the sense of this, you know, to be brutally honest about it, we were 0-3 in the league. It was going into this Montana game, actually. And at that point in time, in the previous three games, you know, I think math combined plus minus was like a minus 59. And plus minus can be kind of a loaded number. Like, I don't look into it too much. But over the course of those three games, Matt was really struggling. And then you look at Dalen, I think the stat for Dalen at that time, I think over his previous six games, he had one rebound in six games. And it basically like, look, man, like, one, you're the leaders of the team. You know, I've kind of crowned them the leaders from the very start. I spent more time with those two guys in terms of leadership and things like that. And it was like, look, this isn't punishment. But at the same point in time, you, on an individual level, you're not doing what we need you to do to win. And to their credit, they both were – and I told them, too, I said, my intention is not for you to rot on the bench either. Like, you're going to get in, but, like, we need something to change here. And they both did a great job, not just in that game, but since. Dalen's played some of his best basketball this year since that point in time. Dalen had seven rebounds against Northern Arizona. Going into the Northern Arizona game, Dalen had nine steals in his previous four games, which at that rate, he would be leading the Big Sky in steals. And so just the activity and effort that he's shown, and I'm really proud of those guys for how they're playing since that point in time, because it's not personal. I love those dudes. I would do anything for those guys. But when you look at it, I say, look, man, like, you know, you guys are playing 36, 38 minutes a game, and the production part of it, and the fact that we're really struggling, like, we need to look ourselves in the mirror a little bit. And I told him, too, I said, they're both going to be pros. And I said, look, if you play like this in the pros, you're not going to be a pro for very long. You're going to have to go get a real job. And that's just the truth. And I thought they both handled it well. In that game, they both got in quickly, and they played a lot better. I thought their juice was great. Their detail is great. And so it was back to them starting after that. So, you know, you don't want it to get to the point where, hey, this is a learning lesson. Like, that's not what it is. But at the same point in time, that Montana State game, the game before, we were down 30 on our own court. And you got to look at that a little bit. And so I thought that was the – and it wasn't just that. That was the first game that, you know, Brock Wisney started over Theo. But I thought Brock had earned it. And so it wasn't just a Matt and Dalen thing. It was like, look, we're going to try this, and we're going to keep, you know, trying things together. In the big picture, you know, really right now probably our five most productive players, which would be Matt, Dalen, Dalton, Riley, and Brock. They still, to this point, because of injuries and Riley's injury over the past, you know, several weeks and Brock not getting to the starting lineup until that game, we've never started that crew together. And so there's still another level I think we can get to. And so I'm kind of excited to see what that might look like coming up here soon.
Yeah, me too. Hopefully we get to kind of see that start to work together as soon as this Montana game coming up. Montana State, later, of course, in the weekend, and then that Weber State game on Monday. Coach, a texter here wants to know who won that student versus faculty game, by the way.
It was not us. And when I say us, it was, again, when you lose, it's the coach's fault. It was the students. that lost. The students lost. I was the coach of the students. We took it on the chin. We dug a big hole, man. And then we came back. We had a layup. We missed. And, you know, from that point on, it went from 2 to 30 in about 6 minutes. And you know, it was a good experience. We had 21 students on the roster. So I was more so just trying to manage getting everyone equal playing time, so that I didn't have a student revolt on my hands. But it was a blast. It was a great turnout. We had a good time.
Well, hey, maybe we could put a tweak. I was thinking about this morning on the way in, Coach. Can we tweak this next year? We can get former students, because I would love to go up against Tanner, because he's 4 feet tall. I think I could win
fun.
That matchup.
Yeah. Maybe we could.
Yeah.
Too. You know,
yeah.
Remind me in the offseason. Let's see if we can get that done. I think it could be a blast.
Yeah, because if that's the thing, then I'm gonna start shooting free throws and get ready. I'm gonna start practicing.
Yes, start working. Yep, yes, start working.
Coach, I love following this team. I know it. Like I said, I know the record's not where you want it to be, but you have some big opportunities in front of you. And I think I've got my morning show crew. Angel and Tanner talked to. I think we're all coming out Monday night too, so they're gonna.
Cool.
They're, even though they got to get up at like 4 a.m, we're coming out, so it should be a lot of fun.
Shows a lot of toughness on the staff at KSK, so I like that, man. Let's do it.
Those guys, I don't have to get up until 10, so right. I'm good. But yeah, those guys have. I got a lot of respect for them. Coach, appreciate you as always, my friend, and best of luck with this road swing coming up with the Montanas beginning later on this week.
All right. Sounds good, Brady. Thanks, man.
All right, man. UNC head coach Steve Smiley. What do you think about it? You're a former student, Angel. I'm a former student. Tanner's a former student. We could be coached up by Steve Smiley next year.
That would be awesome.
Do you think he'd probably get after us a little bit?
I would hope so.
Coach me good, coach.
Bunch of out of shape radio guys.
Coach me up. Coach
me
up.
We got to wear like the old 80s like headbands and the wristbands, all of that stuff. The short shorts.
Dude, I'm just worried about pulling muscles at my age now.
We got to stretch.
Yeah. Stretching
they
can
have
pull.
Trainers there.
I can pull muscles stretching too, man,
that's
at
what
this
the trainers
point.
Are for.
I turn right sometimes. I'm like, gah. Why is the right side of my face numb suddenly? 19 minutes after the hour. Patrick Surtain still to come. Pro bowler for the Denver Broncos. Talking about a big event he's got going on. And the Punch Bowl social bowling event coming up. So we'll talk to Patrick about that. A little more on the Broncos with him. And maybe what he's looking for. I mean, he's getting ready to approach his third year. He is probably their best player. He's going to become that leader going into next season. So I'm excited to talk to him coming up in a few minutes, 19 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Welcome back into the whole show. Hey, it's kind of Top Text Tuesday. We didn't even get to that, but we've had plenty of texts coming in. B-Rad, I love that. Did Dick Monfort say he didn't agree with what the Padres are doing as far as spending a lot of money to make their team better? Is that a real quote? Is that real? Dick Monfort said, what the Padres are doing, I don't 100% agree with, though I know that our fans probably agree with it. For the Padres, as far as spending money for their roster construction. What is there to disagree with? You're not building them up through your system?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, the Padres are... Correct me if I'm wrong. They're better than the Rockies.
Yes.
Quite a bit. But we don't agree with what they're doing. They'd be like...
What are the Rockies doing?
They'd be like George Payton coming out and going, you know, I don't really... Or it would be like Greg Penner coming out saying, I don't really agree with what the Chiefs are doing. You know? I know the fans probably want that. If winning Super Bowls is important to you, yeah. It's not everything, Angel. Do you have a great environment? Is it sunny out? Free hot dogs for the first 1,500 people? Do you have that? Yeah. Didn't think so. Oh, you do that too? My bad. I want to get to that in a little bit. Bones Highland, though. Man, it just... This is what's tough if you're a Bones Highland fan. Because I feel like a trade's happening. I just feel like...
I think it's for sure happening.
Yes, I think it is. And I don't know exactly what they're going to get for him.
Or who they're trading it to.
Or who, right. The sucky part about this is I think the Nuggets do value Bones Highland. I think they look at him and say, man, this guy could be a big piece in 2 years. But that's a big could be. I'm not sure, but maybe. If he was advanced, you know, as far as his shot selection and some of his defense and just, you know, I think what Dempsey was saying yesterday, he's got to know when he's got to feel okay passing the ball. Not thinking he's never going to get it again because he plays like that. He plays like, if I pass the ball, I'm not going to touch it again on this possession. They want to get those things out of him. And they're not there right now. So it's an unfortunate part of this. If it's like Christian Brown is a rookie, so they're like, yeah, we have plenty of time. He's not that vital to what we're doing. But Bones, where he is on the roster in the, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth man, is vital to what we're doing. So the idea in my mind is they're going to have to go find somebody that is essentially going to replace his minutes, not draft picks, because that would be a silly move. Draft picks is not a championship window move. So if you trade Bones Highland for draft picks, I agree with you, Angel. That's not a good move. That would be the first knock against Calvin Booth that I've seen so far. But if you trade him for a player that's going to play about, what, 17 minutes, and then the idea is he's going to produce more than Bones and be more of a fit more within what their offense is trying to do, then that makes sense. But don't trade him for picks or, you know, experimental players. That will be the big one. 27 minutes after the hour, we're going to get out a little bit early here so we can bring on the Pro Bowler, Patrick Surtain of the Denver Broncos. We'll talk to Pat coming up next. Don't go anywhere. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Everybody, this is Dalton Reiser with the Denver Broncos, left guard number 66. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show. I am pumped, very pumped about this next guest. Pro Bowler, Denver Broncos cornerback, Patrick Surtain joining the show. Talking about a really cool event coming up, a charity bowling tournament at Punch Bowl Social. Patrick, man, thank you so much for giving us some time today. We really appreciate you jumping on.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate y'all for having me on.
Hey, first off, congratulations to you, man. Getting into the Pro Bowl, of course. I'm excited. I'm excited for some flag football this week, to be honest, man. But congrats to you, dude. You are one of the top, maybe the top cornerbacks in the NFL. So just congratulations on all your success in such a short time, too, man. It's so fun to watch you play.
Yeah, appreciate that. Definitely.
All right, so let's look at this, and I might ask you a couple of Broncos questions coming up, but tell us about this charity bowling tournament that's coming up at Punch Bowl Social, man. I want to learn more about this, give our listeners some information so they can kind of get into the mix here a bit.
Yeah, so the bowling, it's a charity bowling tournament called Strikes for Types. It's open to the public starting at 5 p.m. on Monday, February 13th. Ticketed sales are now available for purchase for a total of 24 players to be included in the bowling tournament, where the winning team will play my VIP team, including some of my teammates. So it should be fun. That should be a dope turnout. And Punch Bowl Social will be donating $5,000 to my newly founded Pastor Tan the Second Foundation, which will support underprivileged youth in the community. You can get your tickets now on Eventbrite. The link is in my bio to watch or play, plus a merch signing and photos with my winning team. And I also want to give a shout-out to Punch Bowl Social for allowing me to host this event with them. It should be a dope turnout with great food, a great experience, drinks, and, you know, I can't wait for it. It should be dope.
Man.
And I want everybody to enjoy themselves, so...
Yeah, and I'll give out some information, too, at the end of this, Patrick, too, where folks can jump on, check out tickets and everything. So let me ask you this. This is going to be a serious question for you, man. Are you the best bowler on the team? Or, I mean, who's the best bowler on the Denver Broncos?
The best bowler?
Yeah.
I'll give you this. I'm for sure not the best bowler on the team.
top five? You got to be top five, top six, top ten?
I don't even know. I mean... I'm really, like, on and off, if you ask me. I'm not consistent, I could say. Some of these guys, they know how to, you know, roll the bowling ball a certain way at an angle where it curves back in. I don't know how to do that.
Oh, dude, I can't.
They be looking like,
no, I don't
some
know.
Of them look, be looking like professionals. they got their own bowling balls. I even got my own bowling ball. So, you know, I'm pretty raw at bowling, if you ask me.
That's
the two guys that I'm bringing that's pretty good.
Well, that's when you know you have good bowlers, right? When you see those dudes walk in with a bag and they have a bowling ball in that bag, that's when you know you're in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Then they got the towel to wipe the bowling ball off with. You know, they're official.
Guys that wear the wristbands, too. You're like, okay, these guys have done this for a while. All right, Patrick, so what can guests expect when they attend this? Or if they want to watch, maybe they participate, whatever. So you said there's going to be you and maybe some of your teammates there as well. So what can some of the guests expect when they sign up for this event?
You know, they could expect, so it's a total of 24 players, of course. So, you know, they could sign up and, you know, get tickets for that. But, you know, they should expect to be competing, you know, to play against the VIP team, which includes me and some of my teammates. You know, I don't want to put that in the air yet, but, you know, they'll find out to see. But I just want them, you know, just to have a fun experience. It's going to be a dope event. You know, it's going to be signing their photos with the winning team. So whoever we'll be participating. You know, just look forward to a competitive bowling tournament, I should say.
I love it, man. Get those folks out there, compete, be around you. That's a huge opportunity. Patrick, you mentioned your foundation. I want to make sure we let our listeners know a little bit more about that. Can you talk to us a little bit more about your new foundation and what you brought up with the youth and raising money and everything there, and how folks can get involved too with your foundation? So talk to us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a newly founded foundation. You know, my mission is to, you know, support underprivileged youth in the community. You know, Punch Bowl will be donating their $5,000 to my foundation. And if people want to feel free to chime in, they can too. But, you know, the event is just, you know, it's my first one, so I just want to bring notice towards my mission and also, you know, shine a light on those in the community, those that are, you know, that needs the resources, those that are don't have the same experience that we do. And, you know, I just want to shine a light on those and give back to the community in a positive way and make an impact for my foundation.
I think it's absolutely outstanding, man. I love that. And anytime you want to come on to promote that foundation or this event, you know, we're always game for it. Patrick, can I let me just ask you, you know, looking at the season that was for you of course, this is Broncos defense. You guys were lights out for the most part of the season, man, you especially. What was it like this whole season for you just personally? And then at the end of it, you know, finding out, hey, I'm a Pro Bowler now. I'm a starter in the Pro Bowl. Like, what was that? Only your second year. What was that like for you, man, to know you have arrived? You are one of the best corners, maybe the best corner in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I just think defensively as a unit, you know, we proved week in and week out that, you know, we're one of the best in the league. You know, just by our preparation throughout the week, the way how we carried ourselves, you know, the way how our standard was set already. We knew before the season started we wanted to be a dominant defense. You know, we proved that week in and week out. And, you know, the goal was set for that structure. You know, even though the season didn't go as planned as how we wanted it to be, we still laid it on the line each and every Sunday. And for me, individually, you know, I just, you know, set goals for myself for this year. You know, I know that I can really, you know, look towards, you know, the work this offseason, but I could say the work I did last offseason helped me get to the point where I'm at, you know, to have the season I had, to be a pro bowler and all pro, it means a lot. Those accolades means a lot, you know, just to be mentioned across the league and to gain that recognition across the league, you know, it means a lot individually.
Yeah, well, again, it's been so special to watch. I was so excited when the Broncos drafted you, of course, and then to see what you did last year in your rookie year, and then to carry that over and just double down and get even better getting into that Pro Bowl. And a unique experience coming up with Pro Bowl weekend, too. Flag football action, a bunch of different things. The Mannings are coaching against each other, man. It's going to be unique. I'm really intrigued by what this is going to look like this weekend.
Yeah, the format is, you know, pretty dope. It should be fun for the players, the fans, and everybody that's attending. You know, they format it for the players so we can have our fun, you know, after a long season, you know, get to, you know, compete, but in different terms, different aspects of the game, you know, just to make it fun and, you know, just to enjoy ourselves while we're there in Vegas. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it, especially the different events, the different games. So, you know, it should be fun just to go around and compete with different players from across the league. It's going to be dope for my first one.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what it looks like this weekend. Patrick, I was just going to ask you if you had any breaking news for us. Do you know who the head coach is? we're all waiting to see what's going to go on with that situation, man.
I wish I knew that answer, but I'm just like y'all. I'm waiting for final.
What's it like for you? Yeah, what's it like for you seeing all this stuff? I mean, like you said, you're on Twitter. You do great on Twitter. You're seeing all these rumors, all this stuff out there. I mean, is it frustrating or is it just like, you know what? Whoever it is, I'm a Pro Bowler. I'm going to do Pro Bowl things next year. It doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah. You know, obviously, I could control what I could control, you know, and I'm going to mind my business regarding that. But, you know, I just think that, you know, they're playing it out well. I know the organization going to make the right choice, the right decision, you know, for the head coach job. And whoever they be, whoever it is, I just believe they'll provide a lot of leadership qualities and, you know, help, you know, turn this thing around for the team and for the organization. So I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, I'm just going to enjoy my off season and, you know, just wait for when that call happens and when that day happens, being able to meet the coach and chat and chime in with them.
Patrick Surtain joining us, Pro Bowler for the Denver Broncos. We started the segment talking about this great event coming up, this charity bowling tournament at Punch Bowl Social, and I'll give some information out at the end of that when we're done. Patrick, last one for you. Is there? I heard like Garrett Bowles and a few other players talk about what they were looking for in a head coach. Is there any characteristics that you look at and say, I want the next head coach to do this or be this type of guy? Or as a defensive-minded guy, maybe you're thinking, yeah, it'd be kind of cool if they were a D coordinator at one point in their career. Is there anything like that, or is it just more or less, you know what, whoever it is, we're going to trust the organization and be ready to rock and roll? Is there anything in particular that you would look for in the next head coach?
Obviously, when you look at a coach, you know, the main quality, the main asset that you want to see in the head coach is him being the player's coach, him being interactive across the locker room, you know, him being understanding for the players, and also just him being himself. You know, I just think that at the end of the day, you know, just to be at a high position like that in the NFL, you know, you got to have one unique quality. What is that? Leadership, or is that, you know, just being a standout guy in general? You know, you just got to have one of those qualities to possess. And I know the Broncos are going to do a great job at finding that guy with the right needs and the right qualities to, you know, lead his team, you know, to greater things in the future. So, you know, I just look forward to that.
Well, me too, man. We've been talking about, I'm ready. I'm ready to find out. I know you're ready, but you're also, like you said, you're going to enjoy some of this offseason, this big Pro Bowl weekend for you. It is so well-deserved, man. So happy for you. And I just got to say, my producer, Angel, is one of the biggest Alabama fans in the history of the world. So when I told him we were getting on the show, he was, like, absolutely floored by this. So he followed your career in college. I mean, we all did. But Angel especially, man, he's like, this is pretty cool. So I wanted to let you know that, man. Diehard Bama fan on the other side of our glass over there.
Yeah, roll tide. Roll tide to that.
You know,
that roll tide.
He's cutting that. I guarantee you he's cutting that, and he's going to make a promo out of that, man, and blare it out before every Alabama game next year. Pat, man, such an honor to get you on this show, talk about your foundation. If you ever want to do it again, you have nothing to fear, man. We would love to have you guys reach out and get you back on the show. We're diehard fans of you, my friend.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. We'd love to reach out for future events.
All right, man, good luck this weekend. Pull that flag. I know there's a strategy to it, but good luck this weekend. We're looking forward to the Pro Bowl activities coming up soon, man.
All right, thank you all for having me.
All right, man, Patrick Surtain. There you go, Angel. There you go. You got your role tied in.
You got a couple of them in there. Love that.
Dude, what a good dude. An awesome event to this foundation that's really aimed to help underprivileged youth in the community, in the Denver community, in the surrounding area. But again, it's a really cool event, this charity bowling social tournament coming up at Punch Bowl Social, I should say. It's happening on Monday, February 13th at 5 o'clock. It's a bowling tournament. He's going to be bowling. Ticket sales are for 4 people per team on 8 lanes. A total of 32 players will be included in the tournament, where the winning team will play Patrick Surtain and his VIP team. Not sure who that's going to be. Probably a couple of players. So there's a cool opportunity. Following the tournament, the Punch Bowl Social will donate $10,000 to Surtain's charity of choice. Tickets are available now if you guys want to check that out. General admission is $15. Entry to the event, there's live DJ entertainment, VIP seating, all of that. Check it out. Just Google this charity bowling tournament at Punch Bowl social. 45 minutes after the hour, we'll jump out and take a quick break, talk about Pat's comments. I mean, he's going to say the right things, but it has got to be crazy for the players, too, because they're seeing the same stuff. They don't have any inside scoop either. They're seeing the same stuff that we're seeing as far as who the next head coach, but maybe there's one Bronco that does have a little bit of an inside scoop. We'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
/12:49 the time. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Patrick Surtain, that was good. That was a really good thing, you know, getting him on to talk about an awesome foundation that he's working on, an event that he's been working on, and the first one. So it's a cool deal there. If you missed that segment at all, check out the podcast at 1310kfk.com or thewholeshow.com. Bones Highland, that's awkward. It's an awkward tweet. Nuggets just shared out the fact that Bones Highland is in his second Rising Stars appearance. He's got his second Rising Star appearance. They just tweeted it out. Let's get busy. Then they tagged Bones. It's in his Nuggets gear. Is that one of the last tweets about Bones and Nuggets kind of mixed there?
I don't know. I just look at the comments under that post.
Oh, yeah.
It's very obvious what Nuggets Nation wants them to do. And it's just a tough situation because you like a guy like Bones as a player. You like him as a personality. You like him in this locker room. He seems to get along with everybody other than Michael Malone, I guess.
I don't know. But
I also see as this is a championship window for the Nuggets, and it's becoming more and more obvious that it is with how good this team is playing, and they're only going to be getting better. Can you add one more piece to it that's going to put them over the top?
That's the thing. If you trade for draft picks, which we heard that report earlier, right? That it could be for draft picks. I'm out.
That would be stupid.
Because you're in the window. So this move would be about what widens the window.
Bones Highland. That's not to say the window is completely closed with Bones.
No, I'm predicting the Nuggets to win a championship, and that was before we even started talking about Bones Highland being moved. It started to enter my brain when Bones had that moment where he did the finger thing and he just kind of left the bench. And then before that, Malone had sat him a game or two before that, when before Malone got sick, he'd sat down with Bones and kind of looked like they were going at it a little bit. It started to enter my brain. Is there some kind of riff there? I wonder. I'm curious. And if there is, does Calvin Booth look at this situation and say, all right, Malone's going to coach him hard. I don't know if Bones can take it right now. He's not where we want him to be today. He could be there tomorrow, but not right now. If we trade him, could I get a piece that would be ready for championship window right now? Because here's the thing. When Bones is good, when he's on, he's really lethal. He'll take those shots from like 3 feet behind the three-point line, and you'll go, wow, you can't really guard that. That's amazing. But then he chooses to take them and misses them sometimes, or goes one on three or things like that. He's 50% really exciting and crazy good, and he's 50% like Will Barton. And the part they want to get rid of is that Will Barton. And maybe that changes in the next year or two. But if you really feel like there's a player that can help this team even more right now, then you have to explore that. I think I told you yesterday, though, the more I think about it, and I have made comparisons. Some people don't like it. Bones and Will Barton do remind me of each other. I think that could change. And if I had to make a choice today, I would say no. I would stay with Bones and try to really see if Malone and Bones can coexist. Because I think, kind of like what we saw with Bol Bol, if you can get past this phase. Because I think Malone's coaching him hard, and I don't think Bones likes it. That's just for my guess, what I've seen. And I think if you can get past that, then they could really make something happen here.
Well, we saw something similar with Malone and young players. Like, we bring up the Michael Porter Jr. situation. His first year, he barely saw the court. That was because of injury management and stuff like that. But there was a little bit of a rift between MPJ and Michael Malone until Michael, the other Michael, eventually got to the point where you could trust each other and he could go into the starting lineup. And even when he got there, he was in and out a couple of times. And so I like that. Can you get Bones and Malone over this hump where Bones sees his potential? He sees the role he's going to have on this team, whether it's the rest of the season or next season, and get his performance to match that expectation.
Yeah, and that's what sucks for Bones right now is he's at this really unique spot where he's not Jordan Poole with the Warriors. The Warriors were in a window, but they were in the window before Poole got there. They were in the window while he's there. They'll be in the window if Jordan Poole leaves today. Bones did not storm on Jordan the first year. He wasn't as good. And then second year, then it's like, okay, he's good. The Nuggets are approaching the window. They're not a proven championship caliber team. Like, I think if somebody today said that they were going to pick Golden State to win a title, that could happen. That could still happen. Denver is still, even though they're the number one seed in the West right now, yeah, there's still a lot of doubt as far as can they win it. And Jordan Poole for Golden State was like, oh, if you play great, awesome, you can really help us out. If you struggle, I got Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green that can do some amazing things for us that can carry his team. The Nuggets have Nikola Jokic. They still need a more consistent Jamal. They still need a more consistent Aaron Gordon. And obviously Michael Porter Jr., especially given everything going on with him. I guess my point is the Nuggets are not quite good enough to just say, yeah, we can win while Bones is learning on the job. Golden State was good enough while Jordan Poole was learning on the job. And so I think that's where Calvin Booth says, we're not that good where we can sacrifice a bad game or two from Bones in the playoffs. We need to find a guy that's maybe his good days aren't as good as Bones, but his bad days aren't going to be as bad as Bones. A more consistent player. And I think that's what the tough part is for Bones right now is if this were next year and maybe the Nuggets are even better than, because Joker has gotten better every year the last 4 years. Well, maybe every year he's been in the league. Jamal and MPJ, there's still growth for MPJ, I believe. Christian Brown, Bruce Brown. Like, it's only going to get, in my mind, I think the Nuggets window is only going to get wider in the next 3 years. So, but you don't, you every year you're in the window, you want to capitalize on that. And so I do think that if this were next year, and maybe you saw this team do it again, like at this point next year, January 31st, if the Nuggets are like a number one seed again, I think we're all going to say, yeah, the Nuggets are the new Golden State. They're just the best team now on a yearly basis. They're that close to being that team, but they're not there yet. And that's what's the timing of this is just really tough for Bones Highland. Dixon, yeah, I caught that. Dixon said, Brady, I'm a pretty old school hole again and not sure this is right, but I think that interview was one of the dopest I ever heard. I love it, dude. That was good. Patrick Surtain was good. And he even threw out a Roll Tide. Can you clip that and make that part of our, you put that in the show so whenever you start on your Alabama stuff or Tua, you have that now. That was cool. He hooked it up for you, man. 12:57 the time. Final hour coming up next. I got Mike Brohard talking CSU UNLV tonight. Maybe the Rams get it going. Again, they beat UNLV already. Can they do it again at home? Talk about that and more coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.